to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you doing, Natalie?
I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah?
Rainy day again here.
Yeah, you're not sick of this...
I am.
GD rain? We cuss all the time on the show. Why am I like...
I'm sick of this GD rain. But yeah, it's nice that I don't have to go anywhere for the rest of the day, so that's kind of nice. Yeah. I know you have to...
I run some errands.
So yeah, I like being home when it's raining. That's always
fun. I guess that's
fun.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just been raining so much lately. And look, I know we needed it.
Look, we need it.
But I... As I say, every it seems to happen once a year. We have a real, like, usually in January, February, March, that time, a real rainy season.
Yeah.
And I say the same thing every year. I did not move to Southern California to be rained on.
We don't pay these rents to live in, you know?
I want the sunshine. That's
we need the sunshine, yeah.
That's what we got going for us down here is the sunshine.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of the rain. But I know, yeah, we're in a drought. We need it and everything.
It'll pass. It'll pass.
And it is very fun to see the hillsides all green, you know?
It is.
Because they're normally brown in Southern California. Yeah. But yeah, driving around after the rain and seeing green hillsides, it is fun. Mm-hmm. I like that. But sometimes it's enough already, right?
Yep.
But this is not a podcast about Southern California weather.
But we talk about it quite often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, like, Southern California having, like, weather.
We have weather.
Is rare enough that it's like we have to comment on it, you know?
It's something, yeah.
You know, like everyone tweets when it's raining, like in LA, just like everyone tweets when there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
I've gotten, like, well, I'm way less social media at all this year, or really starting at the end of last year. But I had, like, mostly retired Twitter because of Elon Musk and everything, and started using Blue Sky. And I still use Blue Sky, but I have found myself kind of, like, crawling back to Twitter every once in a while just because there's still more people on it and there's more stuff to look at.
Right.
But I'm trying to spend more time reading the news than reading
because that's always hot takes. Uplifting. And.
But what I'm saying is, like, people who get their news from social media,
right,
like, you're getting news in the angriest form, you know? I like to read some measured news. But again, this is not what this podcast is about. This is a podcast about the show's Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch one episode of each every week, and we compare, contrast, and have all other sorts of fun segments. So today we are on to Season 6, Episode 23 of both shows. Season 6, Episode 23 of Friends is called The One with the Ring, and Season 6, Episode 23 of How I Met Your Mother is called Landmarks. We're going to put a pin in the landmarks, and we're going to jump into Season 6, Episode 23 of Friends, The One with the Ring. So,
take it away.
We start in Chandler and Monica's apartment, and Phoebe's over there helping Chandler decide on rings. He's looking at, like, brochures, because they didn't have the internet. I mean, they had the internet, but...
Yeah.
On TV shows, they didn't use the internet.
Yeah.
But then Ross and Joey walk in, and so Phoebe and Chandler have to kind of, like, make an excuse, because Chandler doesn't want anyone but Phoebe to know. And Phoebe only knows because she walked in on him reading ring brochures on the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me so long the first time. It was like, I only told you because you walked in on me looking at, and I thought he said rainbow shoes.
That's what I heard too. Yeah.
Ring brochure.
Yeah.
Not rainbow shoe.
I heard rainbow something.
Yeah. So Joey and Ross walk in, they say they're going to the coffee house. And then Ross is like, oh, we were just going to go to the coffee house.
Yeah.
And then they make up a different excuse and run off. At the perk, Phoebe and Rachel, this is later, are discussing Paul. And Rachel is saying that she doesn't know anything about Paul. He's very, like, keeps, you know, plays his cards close to the vest. He doesn't, like, reveal a lot about himself.
Yeah.
But then he walks in. And then Ross walks in. And Paul and Ross kind of, like, fake make nice to each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Elizabeth's not around, but... I guess Paul, being a private person as he is, doesn't want Ross to tell about his little, like, mirror dance and stuff. So they're fake nice to each other, but then they make it faces at each other behind their backs, yeah. which is funny.
Yeah.
So Ross asks Phoebe why she and Chandler bolted as soon as he and Joey got there. And Phoebe makes up that that Ross, or that Chandler is mad at Ross.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of the How I Met Your Mother thing, where, like, I can't remember where it started, like, but, like, Ted told Joey that, like, Robin didn't like her, and then, like, yeah. Zoe went to Robin, and Robin's like, it's not me, it's Lily, yeah. and, like, Zoe went, like, all around the city to different friends to find out who didn't like her.
Okay.
So, then at Rachel's apartment, well, Rachel and Joey's is what I'm going to call it, even though I know Rachel technically doesn't live there, but come on.
Yeah.
Rachel's trying to get Paul to open up about his past, and he does, and then in a bit that is just blatantly stolen from Seinfeld, once he opens up, he can't.
He can't turn it off.
Yeah. And he just, like, everything just comes out of him. He's crying.
It's like years and years worth of therapy in this, like, tiny little conversation.
Yeah, although it ends up going on, like, overnight into the next day.
Yeah.
So Chandler and Phoebe are at the ring store, and Chandler picks out a ring from the actor Oliver Muirhead,
whom
you've probably seen in a number of things.
He's in so many things.
So the main thing I associate him with is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He showed up in a couple episodes as one of the head, like, watchers from the Watchers Council, you know?
Right, but he's in lots of commercials, too.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Well, he was also in an episode of Lost. I think it's the episode where... oh, man, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. Who's the Scottish guy on Lost? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
It's, I feel like it starts with a D. Not Darren.
Desmond.
Do you remember, there's a flashback where Desmond becomes a monk and is, like, making wine with monks. Do you remember that?
Okay, yeah.
And I think he was one of the monks. But then he's also on an episode of Seinfeld with the...
Oh.
The, like, 50-year-old wedding cake from, like, King George's wedding cake. He's the auctioneer.
Dancing around the...
Yeah, so I believe he's the auctioneer.
Yeah, he's truly in... every single sitcom.
Yeah. He decides to buy an $8,000 ring. We forget that Chandler is, like, well off.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah. And that's in 1990, or that's 2000 numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe, 2000. That's where we are. But then Chandler remembers that he lent his credit card to Joey. And so he's like, hold the ring, don't sell it, I have to go get my credit card.
Yeah.
Right? So at the perk, Ross is talking to Joey about why Chandler's mad at him. Joey's like, is it because we didn't, like, get him a ticket to the Knicks game? And Joey's like, we should buy him something. And Joey's like, oh yeah, I've got this credit card.
Yeah.
And he, like, pays for the coffee with the credit card. Where was I? Rachel comes across the hall to complain about Paul, who's still going on. And Monica says you should just have sex with him to shut him up.
Yeah.
Back at the ring store, Phoebe... It's not just a ring, it's a jewelry store, but they also have antiques.
Mm-hmm.
And Phoebe's just, like, trying everything on. She's, like, covered in jewelry and holding an antique and musket.
A tiara.
She's wearing a tiara. And then someone else buys the ring. All from your head. Let his guard down, and the other employees sold the ring that was supposed to be on hold. Phoebe tries to run after the guy, but the, like, gate comes down.
She's wearing all the...
Because she's wearing all the jewelry, which reminded me of Uncut Gems, where Eric Bogosian and his thugs or whatever, his hoods, get trapped in the glass, plexiglass door or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. She gets trapped. Chandler comes over to Joey's looking for Joey. And there's a funny thing here, but I don't know if you wrote it down, what Paul says when Chandler walks in the door and Paul's, like, still crying, and he goes, Rachel? And Chandler's like, no. So Shelly comes over and Paul wants to hug him, so they hug briefly, but then Joey comes home and Paul hugs Joey and won't let go. Chandler gets back to the store because he gets the credit card out of Joey's pocket, which not only is a bad joke that he's like, not the pocket, not only a bad joke, they've done it before.
Right.
They've done this, like, exact joke.
Going back to the old well that wasn't funny the first time.
Yeah. Or I guess with Ross, it wasn't not that pocket. It was not you, because he wanted, I don't know, some lady to get it. Blah, blah, blah. So Chandler comes back. He's sad about the ring being gone. Meanwhile, Ross and Joey are pissed at Chandler, so they decide they're going to freeze him out. No talking to Chandler anymore. Reggie comes back, and Paul has a bunch of things written down that he wants to talk about, and Rachel's like, I'm going to try and seduce him instead. Eventually, he's not biting, you know? Mm-hmm. So she, like, blows up. She can't take it anymore, and then they do go get it on.
Yeah.
And then Paul cries about how good the sex was.
Yeah.
Been there, Paul. Chandler's...
You've never cried.
Chandler's bummed. Please. Still bummed about the ring. But Phoebe's like, the guy who bought the ring, he said where he was going to propose.
Yeah.
It's weird they didn't actually have that happen. Maybe they did in the producer's cut.
Yeah.
Friends and Mothers, is there a cut where we actually hear that?
Yeah.
I watched... Now, as you know, I watched Blackberry, the movie Blackberry, the other night.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again last night because it's so good. I think you'd like it, by the way. Anyway, I watched the movie and I liked that, like... They don't have the scene where, like, we should call it a Blackberry, you know?
Okay.
Like, you never find, they just, like, it jumps ahead and it's like, oh, it's called a Blackberry now, or whatever. But then I watched the trailer, and in the trailer, Glenn Howerton is like, it's called a Blackberry. And I was like, okay, so they clearly shot that.
Right.
And wisely cut it out of the movie.
Much like in the movie The Rundown. I recall seeing a trailer where The Rock says, all right, give me the rundown.
Which doesn't happen in the trailer. And I don't think it happens in the movie. We watched the trailer.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie multiple times. I don't remember.
Maybe there was like a different version of the trailer that I saw.
Yeah, there could be different cuts of the trailer. That's true. Okay, so is there a cut where we hear...
Give me the rundown?
No, I'm asking about the guy who bought the ring. Yeah. We hear him say where he's going to propose.
Now... Did we see when he bought the ring that it was Brian Dunkelman?
I almost wanted to go back and see.
Yeah.
But
I think you just saw the back of him, like, leaving the store.
So they go see him, and it's Brian Dunkelman.
Yeah.
Who's like, I feel bad that...
Wasn't he, like... Didn't he do something bad?
Oh, did he?
I think so.
Oh. Well, he was, like... He co-hosted the first season of...
American Idol
with Ryan Seacrest, and they cut him out. And now he's, like... I mean, this is an extreme. Do you remember Paul F. Tompkins, I think on his first CD, first album, had a bit about working somewhere as a young man and Fabio walking in and people just, like, bursting into laughter?
Yeah.
And how, like, painful that must be to be Fabio, to people just, like, laughing at the idea of Fabio, you know? Yeah. I feel bad for Dunkelman that he's, like, he is kind of like a cultural, like, punchline now.
Yeah. Okay, maybe he didn't do anything bad. Maybe I made that up.
On a recent, I don't normally plug the Battleship Retention Patreon on this podcast, because why would I? But on a recent episode of the Battleship Retention Patreon, Scott and I were talking about Giovanni Ribisi, and he had a similar thing. He was like, didn't he do something bad? And I was like, I think he's just a Scientologist.
He's just a Scientologist, but his association maybe with, like, Danny Masterson, perhaps?
I don't think I knew about that association.
Okay, I thought that they were friends.
I don't know. Could be, yeah. Yeah, maybe he wrote one of those letters, character letters, like Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis did.
Yeah.
You know, did we talk about this on the podcast?
I don't know.
That, like, my brothers had a friend when they were younger. right? And they kind of lost touch during college and after college. And then that friend ended up getting arrested for soliciting sex from a minor.
Right. Yes.
And reached out through his dad to my brothers and asked for a character letter. And they said no.
Of course not. No.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. My relationship with you ends when I know something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, like, in this case, they hadn't spoken in like 6 years.
Right. Yeah. Like, regardless of how I knew you, I now know this about you, and I can no longer vouch for you.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm way off. So, yeah, they confront Brian Dunkelman, and they get him to trade the ring. And this is another thing with the weird edit. And maybe this is just me, like, my own paranoia. He shows Brian Dunkelman the ring, the ring that he bought.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I didn't mention that he bought a different ring. And Brian Dunkelman agrees to trade and hands him the ring, and Chandler never looks in the ring box. And that seemed so conspicuous to me that he didn't look to make sure the ring was in there, that I was like, well, that's got to be a payoff. But no, he just didn't look, it was there.
The whole thing was so outlandish because, like, what if it's the wrong size? What if it's not even comparable in pricing? What, like, you don't just trade an $8,000 ring, right?
If you're Dunkelman, you do. No one tells Dunkelman what to do.
Yeah, I guess not. It just, like, he chose it for a reason, probably got it sized or new.
Yeah.
Did you know what size my finger was?
Did we have to have yours resized?
No, it was the perfect size. But how did you know? How would you know that?
Yeah, how would I know? Did I take one of your rings?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I don't remember. This was
12 years ago?
11 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't remember how I knew.
Well, you picked a good one.
I just got lucky.
I liked it.
Well, I knew what you wanted. You wanted something that was antique, not a new ring.
Yeah.
And you wanted a princess cut. Right?
You would... No, it's not a...
Oh, what is it called?
It's a cushion cut.
Cushion cut. That's what I meant. I knew it was one of those
But
cuts.
I don't think we talked about the cut that I like.
I think you had mentioned it. We didn't talk about it. I listen when you talk. So I think you had said something about cushion cut. In a new... You wouldn't want something new. And I also knew you wouldn't want something, again, conspicuous. Like, to the point where I, like... After we got engaged, like, when you would show people the ring, a part of me wanted to be like, I could have afforded something bigger. I thought this was what you'd like. Like, I didn't want people to think I was, like, a cheapskate because it's, like, a small diamond. But I knew that's what you would like. You wouldn't want a big fucking rock on your finger.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I always wanted to be like, I could have gotten something more expensive.
No, it's perfect and I love it.
Good. I feel the same about you.
Aww.
So Chandler comes over to Joey's. Ross and Joey are there watching, I can't remember what now, and they're freezing him out. And but then he announces he's gonna propose to Monica, and they end the freeze, and he shows them. I thought this was gonna be the payoff of, like, oh no, the ring's not in the box, Dunkelman screwed me or whatever.
Right.
But no, it's just there. He just didn't look.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always on shows when people, like, or, like, even in real life, someone, like, let's say I owed you $200, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I handed you the cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I see people in movies and TV shows or in real life, if the other person starts counting it, the people are like, what, you don't trust me? But I'd be like, no, absolutely count that
it.
Money.
Right.
I would.
Yeah. I always, like, think about this in, like, Sopranos, when they just, like, hand over, like, a wad of cash.
Yeah.
And no one ever, like, counts it or looks at it.
Yeah, it's just a thick envelope.
Yeah. And they judge it, like, feels a little, like, smaller this time. Like, how do you know? Like,
they don't know what denomination.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if it's all $1,000 bills?
Right.
Yeah. I read something really interesting recently, but now I can't remember what the figure was, but basically there are, like, way more $100 bills in circulation than you would think, because people usually pay in, like, 20s, 10s, and 5s, but, like, there are a lot of hundreds out there. I guess rich guys just like walking around with hundreds.
There was something really funny that happened in Vanderpump Rules many seasons ago.
Oh, okay.
Where, so, one of the idiots, his name is Tom Schwartz, and he was going to open a restaurant with Lisa Vanderpump, who's like, who owns everything. So they were going to like pay in for like a 5% stake and be like co-owners. So he made a big thing of like, he owed her like $50,000. Mm-hmm. He went to the bank and got it in all ones and presented it to her in a suitcase and wore like a suit and had like a little mic. Like, so he was like a secret agent delivering a suitcase. She's like, what is this bullshit?
That's
like,
very funny.
Lisa Vanderpump doesn't want like a briefcase full of $1 bills for this like ridiculous charade. But to him, that was like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know,
I would love it.
Yeah, it was very funny.
If I were Lisa Vanderpump, I'd be like, okay, this is silly. I'm obviously just going to take this back to the bank, but also I'm going to stop at the strip club.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard that story about George Clooney giving away $14 million to his friends?
No, I love it.
He basically, like, the 14 friends he'd known from before he was... famous and who had like been with him, you know, before he was a big star, the people he like felt knew the real him, he like secretly called them to like a warehouse downtown and gave them each $1 million.
Oh my god.
And he talked about like what it, like, it's very dangerous to have $14 million in cash, and the operation of making sure as few people knew as possible that he had gotten the money out of the bank, and like the security of getting it to this building. It's a funny story.
Yeah.
And also, luckily, George Clooney is also very charitable to people who need it, too.
Yeah.
Or else, just like... yeah. It wouldn't be as funny a story if he were, like, a miser otherwise.
Yeah.
All right, so he tells them they're going to get married, and the freeze is over, but then there's a tag at the end where Joey and Ross find out that Phoebe knew before anybody else, and they refreeze Chandler, and that's the end of the episode. Do you have any other stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moments?
Real quick, stray observation. So even more outlandish than the, like, ring swap was Oliver Muirhead, like, jeweler character, when Phoebe's like, do you have anything here I can get for $10? And he just pulls out a pair of fives from his pocket.
Yeah.
Like, who has just, like... two fivers. Like,
yeah, that's funny.
Chilling in his pocket.
But it was a funny joke.
It was a funny, it was just like, no one. Like, how would he know that he just had two fives in his pocket?
Yeah, it's perfect. Okay. The other day, I thought I had two fives in my wallet. What do you call my card thing? I have a little card pocket.
Yeah,
thing.
It's a wallet.
Okay. And they had one five. I don't know what I do with that other five.
We gave it to someone.
Yeah, I probably did. Yeah, but I was at like an event for work where there was an open bar, and got a couple of heavy pours of rosé. I wanted to thank the guy, so I gave him a five.
Yeah, it's nice.
But now I don't have any more cash on me. Got to go to the bank. Where was I? Okay, so let's see. Okay, so funniest moments. First thing I laughed at is just Paul and Ross's like dirty looks at one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got?
When Ross is trying to figure out why Chandler's mad at him, like, so Phoebe's like, maybe he's mad at you. And Ross is like, I can't imagine why. And she goes, come on, you're a paleontologist. You could dig a little deeper.
Right when Paul first opens up, when he can't come up with anything bad that happened to him as a kid at first, but then he mentions that he wanted a big wheel and his parents got him a little like bouncy chicken thing instead.
Yeah.
And he says in his like cool like Bruce Willis voice, it was embarrassing. Kids made fun of me. That was a pretty tough year. And then it feels like he's going to move on.
Yeah.
But then that's when
he goes into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they called him Chicken Boy.
Yeah.
When Phoebe's trying on like all of the diamonds and brooches and tiaras, and he's like, all right, are you quite through? And she's like, let me hold the musket again.
When Joey comes over and Paul hugs him, like grabs him, bear hugs him, and Joey's like, hi, Paul, is it?
Yeah, I had that too.
I have two more.
Okay, I don't have any more.
Oh, okay. When they decide to freeze out Chandler, and like, from now on, it's going to be Ross and Joey, best friends. And Joey says, we're going to be the new Joey and Chandler. And Ross just has a look on his face like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then there's a part where Chandler is, having lost the ring that he wanted to Dunkelman, he's trying to convince, talk himself into liking the ring that he did buy. Yeah. And he opens it and he goes, oh, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, in a very Chandler way.
Yeah. All right. Friends, but make it fashion. I like, they put Bruce Willis in, they put him in rich guy clothes, yeah, which is like flowy linen shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. Same as last episode. He's got rich guy clothes on.
What's like the male version of a coastal grandma?
Is that what he is?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he's like coastal, is he like a Tio? Because he's got kind of like that Guyabera type thing he was wearing last year, and he does feel like he, you know, comes from, he's dressed like he's like a...
Like in Miami, maybe?
Miami or Cuba.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know people hate when you say Cuba, but that's how you're supposed to say it, so fuck you.
Yeah. Coastal Tio, I like it.
Yeah. You have anything else?
Tio del Mar.
Yeah, that's right, Tio del Mar.
Yes, we saw a lot of cardigans over silky dresses.
Okay.
Both Rachel and Phoebe had like a silky dress with embroidery and then a cardigan over it. Phoebe had some pink clogs that I liked.
Oh, I didn't notice the shoes.
Yeah.
At the very end, when Rachel comes in, when she finds out that Chandler's going to propose, she's wearing a very cool denim jacket.
Yeah.
But then she takes it off and it's very dated. Yeah. Kind of like Elizabeth last week was dated.
Oh, those jeans. Oof.
Yeah, so Rachel's wearing a, is it a halter top? What's it called? When there's, it's like a tank top, but no straps. It's just
a tube top.
I guess it's a tube top. But I feel like, I guess when I picture a tube top, I picture an exposed midriff. And this didn't have that. It came all the way down to the pants.
Yeah, it was just,
it was just like a tank top without the,
it still is a tube
still
top.
Still a tube top. Okay. And then she was wearing white pants. It was very, very of the time.
I forgot what I was going to say.
About tube tops?
No, about the other tops.
The jean jacket?
No, what is the tie? Oh, halter top. My friends in San Francisco and I we lived like a bunch of people in one apartment, but we used to have halter top Tuesdays where we all wore halter tops on Tuesdays.
That's funny.
For no good reason other than it was a funny thing to do.
Yeah.
Real quick, mazel to the Magna. For some reason it says Rachel called Dward St. George.
Yeah.
Why? Who is Dward St. George?
I don't know. I couldn't tell what it... Yeah.
But, like, it wanted us to see it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
But, so, I was trying to think, because there was a posture. So I thought it was, like, downward. Like, D, comma, word. Is that downward?
Okay. Well, like, there's a Google entry. People talk about it on Reddit. Yeah, I guess no one knows. Is it a reference to Edward St. George, a hairstylist who worked on the set of Friends at the time?
Oh, probably then.
Maybe. And her hair is doing a lot these days with those extensions.
Yeah, hold on.
So someone should fire Edward St. George.
Yeah, he should spend more time doing his job and less time getting his name written on the map. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for fashion?
No.
What's under the umbrella?
Joey chomping pizza.
That's right.
And just being focused on pizza and being kind of aloof to everything else.
Yeah, because later Ross is like, remember when Chandler and Phoebe stormed out on us? And Joey's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was just like eating his pizza.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's so rude. And Joey's like, oh, I'm sorry. Here, have a bite.
It didn't look like good pizza, by the way.
No, it didn't. It was, like, stiff. Or maybe it was cold pizza?
I don't know.
Okay, so lots of
gay... It looked like Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Lots of gay panic. Like, the whole thing about the pockets and then hugging too long. And then Chandler's thing about when Paul was like, did your father hug you? And he's like, no, did my father hug you? He's kissing men in Vegas.
Yeah.
My dad is kissing other dads in Vegas. Also, we get like a little bit of Phoebe's tragic past wherein she tortures people.
Oh, that's right. She knows how to get the truth out of somebody.
Running them underwater and then smashing their head against a table. Oh, yeah. Also, like, Rachel saying that Paul's, like, crying like a little girl. And like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all.
You think little boys don't cry?
Yeah. There's a whole song about it. There's a movie about it.
Yeah. I'm talking about little boys. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if he said that Paul was crying like
boys,
a child.
Big boys should. Every human being should cry.
All the time?
Yeah. If you're not, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's true.
What did I miss? Anything?
Nothing. Should we take a quick break?
Yes.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, we're back, and we're ready to talk about Season 6, Episode 23 of How I Met Your Mother, Landmarks. Natalie, take it away.
Okay, so we start with the Arcadian, and everyone is planning for the Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting, where they determine if...
Yeah. Where they meet in an auditorium?
Yeah.
Like, normally they meet, it's like at
City
like a
Hall.
Conference room in City
yeah.
Hall or something like
yeah.
that. It's like, it's a big presentation in an auditorium?
Yeah. So, we start off with Marshall... making his statements
yeah.
and advocating on behalf of the Arcadian. He makes a lot of really funny rhymes.
Yeah.
And then he is booted off the stage for doing too much.
Yeah.
And then we have Ted up representing GNB as the architecture or the architect, and the moderator, whatever, says like, well, like, what do you... What say you? And he's like, that's a good question. And then we get like 2 days ago flashback. They're all at McLaren's and he's struggling with it. The friends are, you know, kind of torn too. Barney's on the other side of the bar, still mad at Ted. And Robin has to be the middleman, like send over the message. This is a very funny part.
Yeah.
Because Barney is eating chicken wings. And he licks them and then tosses them on the ground.
This is like, these are going to be gone lickety-split.
Yes.
He just licks each one. I don't know why he has to lick it if he's already going to toss it on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing like a Hot Ones challenge.
Yeah. He's doing like Chrissy Teigen did on the Hot Ones challenge, where she literally just like put extra sauce on it and then like suck the sauce off the wing, which it feels like it would be even more painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Barney eventually like comes over and like kind of tries to make amends, but then he just kind of insults Ted by saying like, the reason why you're doing it is because of her lady bits. And he has this whole thing about like sleeping with a girl who wasn't as like hot as he normally would choose.
Which, like, she was
fine.
She was
just
a pretty
like,
girl with no makeup on, or like
right.
with the no makeup look, I guess. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess he like can't forget that. And then Ted says, I'm in love with her. I have to do this. She could be the mother of my children. And Barney says, like, you'll be sorry if you do this. And then he laughs maniacally. He tries to make Robin laugh maniacally as
yeah.
well, but she can't.
She does like a half-assed like, bah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
But he really
sells it. He really leans in. Yeah. We learn also that the reason why Barney is so mad is he had a conversation with Arthur, and Arthur is going through a divorce, and he's taking it really difficult. Also, he lost custody of Tugboat, his beloved beagle.
Yeah.
And Arthur says, like, well, it's like if Ted did say, like, I want landmark status, or I'm not going to tear it down, then not only will he be fired, but you'll be fired too, because right. we hired him because you advocated for it, and you even said, you can fire me if it doesn't work out. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
mistakes were made in that conversation because Arthur like also said, like, my wife gets everything of mine.
I'm putting all my assets on my wife's name.
Yeah.
Best decision I ever made.
Yeah, if he stood
it's
up,
very funny in the flashback. Barney like says everything and then says in front of a room full of employees, like, by the way, Arthur, how are you and your wife?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, if he stood up in that meeting, both of them would be fired. So there's a lot at stake for Barney, and his job is his whole identity. Robin is they're at McLaren's, and Robin is like, or Ted is like struggling with what to do, and Robin is like testing out different scenarios. And one, he says, you know, tear it down, and another, he said, save it, and the third, he gets hit in the neck with a blow dart by a ninja.
Hired by the captain,
yeah. Lily kind of sides with Robin, like, don't do it. Like, you'll live to kind of, like, resent her.
Yeah.
You'll lose your job. Barney will lose his job. If you don't, like, because Ted doesn't really care about the, like, he knows it's, like, kind of a rat-infested eyesore. But he is kind
but remember,
of...
he has, as we hear, he has advocated for the Arcadian's beauty and importance in the past.
Yeah.
But I think Robin and Lily are being wise, saying, if you give up your dreams, you're going to resent her, you know?
Yes,
I always think that in, like, when I hear about people being like, oh, I got this perfect opportunity, this job offer, but, like, should I take it or should I stay with my significant other? Right. And it's like, if it's that good, you got to take the job, right?
Right. Yeah.
Or else you're going to resent the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ted's struggling, obviously, and then as Ted's sleeping, the ghost of John Clifford Lenneby visits him in a dream. It's Barney, dressed up with, like, mutton chops and, like a smoke machine.
Yeah.
And tells him, like, the Arcadian needs to go. What were you going to say?
But then it turns out...
It was a dream, yeah, because he does, like, disappear in a cloud of smoke.
And then they got Christine Rose to come in to play Ted's mom for one very creepy line.
Yes.
About her
lady bits.
Magic lady bits, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, ultimately, it's, like, New York is, like, full of, like, potential. Like, don't miss your turn over this. Like, getting fired from what could be your whole life's dream, for, you know, this one building.
Yeah.
Ted meets Zoe at the Arcadian to take one last look at it. And they are kind of, like, reminiscing about when they first met and making jokes about it. And then she leaves in a taxi. And...
she's getting one last look at the Arcadian. He's getting one last look at her
as,
because he knows what he's going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they're at this, town hall meeting.
Yeah.
And the moderator says, like, okay, Ted Mosby, like, should this be a landmark? And then Ted says something like, you know, New York is full of architectural wonders. The Arcadian, like, sadly isn't one of them. Except the, like, stonework on the lion's head. That's, like, the only important part of it. And Zoe's so pissed, and then she runs up on stage and plays a recording, which reveals, like, what Ted said earlier about, like, hating all of the...
Yeah, from way back, natural history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The losers and...
Wieners and gonads.
Wieners and gonads from GNB, and how it's a landmark and should be preserved at all cost, and how it's a marvel. They're all at McLaren's, and they decide, like, well, that's over. Barney and Marshall say that we should buy a bar.
Yeah, this is like a callback.
And the theme should be a courtroom.
Yeah.
Lily comes up with a diabolical plan, and they find Arthur. There's a funny scene with Arthur yelling at the cutest dog I've maybe ever seen. He's screaming at this dog like, you'll never be Tugboat.
Yeah.
And this dog is so cute. Does the new dog have a name?
He doesn't know.
Just not Tugboat?
Yeah. I don't love you. My love is reserved for dogs that go to the bathroom on time and don't waste my time.
Yeah. So they make a deal with Arthur, like, you can't fire them, and one of them gets to push the button to demolish the building. I guess the next day, the lion stonework is disappeared from the Arcadian, so then they can demolish it. And Zoe storms out. We're done here. There's nothing else Ted can do. He just says goodbye. Barney has the lion head hanging over his bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I had as well. So should we move on to funniest moments?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I love all of Marshall's rhymes. The best one, and it's like the most like kind of delayed gratification, because like before the like opening credits, he starts with, if you want New York history at your beck and call, and then he gets kicked off the stage, and then the moderator's like, all right, what on earth can rhyme with beck and call? Don't go swinging the wrecking ball.
Yeah, because what's funny, he doesn't say beck and call, he says beck and call. Like, he's getting ready to rhyme it with wrecking ball.
Mm-hmm.
So early on at McLaren's...
Oh, you might take one of mine.
When... they're talking about when Ted says he is going to advocate for landmark status, and Marshall's like, yeah, it's going to be like, and then I look at him and he's like, oh no, that wasn't the Arcadian being destructed. That was GNB's hopes to destroy the Arcadian being destructed. And then, so he goes, the Arcadian's going to be like,
just like stay still, standing.
Yeah. Was that one of yours?
No.
Okay.
It was actually when Robin is the middleman, like speaking for Barney, and she says she has to read the message on like a notebook paper, and it says, "I'm over here, feeling fine and getting some jine." Robin has to say it.
When they're talking about their theme bar, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's Ted or Barney who's like, and the bartenders will have to wear sexy judges' robes. And Marshall goes, I'll allow that.
I'll allow it. I had that too. One of the rhymes, Marshall also uses this with arguments with Lily. If you end an argument in a rhyme, it'll end well all the time.
Yeah. Says, if you're looking to score, keep your socks off the floor.
Yeah.
And then it's revealed that it's Lily who leaves her socks on the
floor. Yeah.
Yeah, my other one we already talked about, which was just everything about Bob Odenkirk yelling at that dog was... everything he was saying was funny, and every cut to the dog was funny.
Every cut to the dog was, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two more kind of ideas. Just Robin like pretending to play chess, and then she's like, no, it's actually Angry Birds, but even that's a lie because she can't figure out how to get it on her phone.
Yeah.
And Ted has explained to her like so many times and shown her, and she can't get Angry Birds on her phone.
This Angry Birds was such a like cultural thing, because there's also Men of a Certain Age, which is also on around the same time. There's a scene It starts in the diner, and like Ray Romano was like mid conversation to Scott Bakula, like, looking at his phone, like, "You're supposed to shoot the pigs."
You and I used to play. We used to like trade off and watch each other play games.
Yeah,
like for hours.
I don't know about that.
I think it was hours. Also,
we would do it on the subway because there didn't used to be self service in the subway.
That's true, but we also did it like on the couch.
Okay.
Oh, the idea of like all of these people in the auditorium, they're like pearl clutching like Southern women.
Yeah.
So when Ted says the thing about the GNB employees, like they're all a bunch of
wieners and gonads.
She goes, "Oh heavens." And she's actually wearing pearls. And
Lily is
yeah. like clutching her pearls.
Yeah. That should move us into Make It Fashion. Is that your last one?
Yeah, I have nothing.
Oh, I liked Bob, I like casual Arthur, his like blue and white checked shirt and his tan members only jacket. He looked like, it was very dadcore, you know,
yeah.
or like normcore, I guess, yeah. at the same time. I liked it. And yeah. I just liked that cute talk.
Yeah.
What's Under the Umbrella? Even though I'm supposed to be the one who keeps track on this show, you're always better than I am. But other than like We Should Buy a Bar coming back.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of other, like...
Not a lot. There was
There wasn't a legendary...
There was a Luke and Leia, like, Star Wars mention.
Oh, God, yeah.
Animal actors.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a... I didn't put it in funniest moments, but that was a funny line when Ted is going to, like, advocate for landmark status. And he's saying, "This is a story I can tell our children, Luke and Leia." And Lily's like, "She's going to let you name your kids Luke and Leia?" And he says, "Not if I knock down this building."
Yeah, it's true.
Let's move on to similarities. There's one big one.
Is it hugs?
Yeah, men hugging. Because we didn't mention that. Is it Marshall who gives Arthur a hug?
Marshall gives Arthur a big hug because he's sad about divorce and Tugboat. And Paul needs hugs from everyone because his father never gave him any.
Yeah. Anything else under similarities?
Yes. Best friend competitions.
This was in Friends, but there wasn't one this week. I was really hoping there would be this week.
So yeah, I made more I used
which you're fine to do, but I feel like you should just call it out when you say it.
Okay. This is another generality, is having no idea what Barney does at work or what Chandler does at work.
That's right.
So Chandler works on the weenus. And No one knows what Barney does.
He has a lot of keys.
He
loves his job. He's been doing it so long. What does Barney do?
What does he do? Like? Yeah.
That could actually have been under the umbrella for both, or for at least for How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Not knowing what Barney does.
And then this might be a stretch, but the idea of different scenarios. So Monica's like, there's two ways to get a guy to stop talking sex, and I don't know what the other one was.
Yeah.
And then Robin's like scenario one, two, and three is like a made up one.
Yeah.
And then there's a chess game set up, or a checkers game. Is it chess or checkers set up at the Perk? And Robin mentions playing chess as a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it.
All right. Well, let's let's play favorites.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Friends.
Yeah. I think for some reason I am pro Chandler and Monica in ways that I was never pro Ross and Rachel.
Yeah.
A lot of that is Courtney Cox's performance.
Mm-hmm.
That I actually believe she's in love with Chandler.
Yeah. She didn't have a lot to do in this episode.
No, yeah. I ship them.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as I ship Phoebe and Joey, obviously. But I ship Monica and Chandler. So this episode that's a romantic episode about them, or about Chandler at least. It wasn't light on jokes. Obviously, like, points docked for how blatantly Seinfeld was ripped off here, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Because I love that episode where... Who is it? It's Lori Loughlin, right? Is the girlfriend who she's the Rachel. She's the one who like tries to get Jerry to open up. And once he starts expressing emotions, he can't stop.
He can't stop.
And he's like, I love you, buddy.
Yeah.
But then George scares him straight.
Yeah.
Okay. You have any thoughts on that?
No.
Let's catch up with our correspondence. Ooh. Catch up on our correspondence. I feel like I thought we had more than one, but we definitely have one.
Okay.
But yeah, as I've said before, if I, and people have pointed out before, if I miss something you sent, let me know and send it again. Andrew. Oh, this is a long one. Okay. Don't read.
Oh, I can't even see it.
Oh, okay. Andrew says, happy Saturday, which is weird because it is Saturday and we're recording this.
Thank you.
Had a I was so careful not to make crummies moment. Remember when Chandler said he was so careful about the crummies?
Yeah.
Recently, that made me feel like me and my boyfriend were Monica and Chandler. My boyfriend is very clean when it comes to his car. And on our way to our anniversary / Valentine's Day trip downstate to Savannah, well, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Savannah is a place I've always wanted to visit, ever since I saw Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. We stopped to get chicken biscuits. This sounds like an amazing trip.
Yeah.
He told me specifically to not make crumbs in his car. With biscuits? Come on. It's a little on him. I tried my best and thought I was in the clear till we got to our hotel and got out of the car to find all the crummies. I said, no, 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 I was so careful.
Good one.
I feel like I'm like, if I make a salad on the counter, I feel like I'm careful to clean up any like bits of like carrot or lettuce.
No.
And then you'll come over there and be like, you know, there's carrots and lettuce all over the counter.
All over the counter, all over the floor, everywhere. I don't know how you do it.
Then Andrew goes on to say, I forgot about this call to action until someone mentioned it in the last episode. As a college kid, I was a Busch Light drinker, which is essentially just alcoholic water.
Yeah. Yes.
My dad was a Busch Light drinker. I like to call it the unofficial beer sponsor of Clemson University, as it was served at every house or fraternity party, including my own fraternity. See, I feel like my, when I was in college, the cheap beer was either Natty Light,
yeah,
or I don't know if they have this in California, Milwaukee's Best.
No, we didn't drink that.
Okay, well, that's what's the Dashboard Confessional song? Your hair is everywhere, and he says this bottle of Beast is taking me home.
Yeah,
Milwaukee's Best.
They called it
Beast. That's always what I assumed he was talking about, was drinking Milwaukee's Best. Okay.
It's funny how often we sing that song because we sing Darla's it to Darla.
Hair is everywhere. Yeah. When I could go to bars, I upgraded. My friend and I's favorite bar in Clemson, Backstreets, served $1 Tallboy PBRs. That's some hipster stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I'm somewhat of a beer snob, although I've cut back on my beer. Hey, me too.
Mm-hmm.
I will only drink from local breweries. Mm. I don't have that, but actually, I mostly do only drink from local breweries.
Yeah.
But I had a Guinness at a bar the other night, at dinner the other night, because I had fish and chips. It wasn't good, but the Guinness was good. My goodness, my Guinness. The beer is better, there's more variety, and I like to support small businesses and not large corporations such as Anheuser-Busch.
Yes.
You're talking about my home state there, but yeah. Fuck them. Wait, no, we're supposed to be pro Anheuser-Busch because the MAGA people hate them. They're like anti-trans people hate them because of the Bud Light thing, right? So now we have
to
support.
They're going back and forth. No, we don't. They're all just, they all just care about money.
I gotta drink Bud Light for the cause.
Yeah.
Lastly, your stories of making corny dad jokes about the names of restaurants that never get old to you reminded me of one that I do. Whenever my stomach hurts, my boyfriend will make me mint tea. Every time he says he's going to make me mint tea, I ask, minty what? That's so good.
That's really good.
Yeah. That's, well, you know, I never get tired of, you know, our friend Scott, who co-hosts Battleship Retention when Tyler's out, his last name is Nye.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we say Scott Nye, I'll say, Scott and you what? The look on his face at this point is incredibly priceless, and I laugh like a hyena every time. Oh, I love it.
I love their relationship.
Yeah. P.S. I can't remember who it was that said they liked season 6. Oh, that was one of the Friends and Mothers. I can't remember either. I have to agree that the show is still strong in this season. That season 7, I think he's talking about How I Met Your Mother here. Season 7 to me is probably my favorite season. Not to give anything away, but season 7 makes me cry the most, and the emotional moments are what always made How I Met Your Mother my favorite all-time show. Mm. Apologies for the long email again. Please don't apologize, Andrew. No, thank you for including your pronouns. And they are he, him. I was using them correctly. And yeah, thank you for the email. Don't apologize for the long email. It's fun.
Yeah.
Especially when it's fun, full of fun stories like that.
Yeah.
Again, I thought we had more. So if I missed something, send it again and call me stupid.
We didn't have any calls to action so far.
No, didn't I have the one?
Oh, about the restaurant?
No. Oh, I asked because I know there's the DVDs have longer cuts.
Yeah.
Is in the longer cut of this episode, do we hear Dunkelman say that he is going to propose at a dinner?
Yeah.
At which restaurant?
Yeah. He's credited as just a customer, but I like how we just keep calling him Dunkelman.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce. This segment is called How Were We Doing? And this is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days these episodes aired. So season 6, episode 23 of Friends aired on Thursday, May 11th, 2000. Let's see. Not a lot, but in the second Chechen War, Chechen separatists ambush Russian paramilitary forces in the Republic of Ingushetia. So I spent this morning reading about the second Chechen War and the first Chechen War. Yeah. The first Chechen War took place immediately upon, and sorry if I'm wrong about this, upon the dissolution of the Soviet Union and established Chechnya's, they won and established Chechnya's independence. Unfortunately, in the second Chechen War, Russia won and took Chechnya back. In fact, at the time of this ambush that I mentioned, as far as Russia was concerned, the war was already over and they were already in control of Chechnya. So officially, the official war ended in April of 2000, but insurgencies like this continued for another, 15 to 20 years. So, that's what happened on the world on this day. On the world on this day? No, in the world on this day. So that's your history lesson, or my history lesson. I don't know if anyone cares, but I like learning weird things.
Yeah.
Or different things. All right. There's, no change in the top 5 songs in the U.S. At number 5, Destiny's Child, Say My Name. At number 4, Cisco's Thong Song. At number 3, Faith Hill, I Can Feel You Breathe.
Watching Over Me.
At number 2, Toni Braxton, He Wasn't Man Enough. And at number 1, Santana, Maria Maria.
Okay.
Season 6, episode 23 of How I Met Your Mother, Landmarks, aired on Monday, May 9th, 2011. And on this day, I'm now trying to remember what state he was from. Pennsylvania state senator, not in D.C., a state senator in Pennsylvania, Bob Mensch was convicted of disorderly conduct for showing a handgun to another motorist on the interstate.
Oh, my God.
It was I read the whole story, the guy wasn't going fast enough. It was a 2-lane freeway, right? 2 lanes each way, so 4 lanes total. 2 lanes going one direction. In the right lane, there was a semi-truck that was going slow. And so Bob Mensch wanted to go around the semi-truck, but there was a guy next to the semi-truck who wasn't going fast enough for Bob Mensch. So he tailgated him, and then once the guy finally got past the truck and got over to the right, Bob Mensch pulled up alongside him and, displayed a handgun. He didn't point it at him or brandish it. That's why it's just disorderly conduct. It wasn't anything worse than that, but it just showed him I have a handgun.
Yeah.
And then they ended up, Bob Mensch, I read the whole story, Bob Mensch and this guy both ended up at the same gas station just a few miles later, where the guy called the cops on him.
Yeah.
And Bob Mensch, before the cops got there, took the handgun and put it in his back belt loop, he thinks he's a fucking cowboy. Vigilante.
Or, yeah.
These gun nuts.
Mensch
Not Menschy at all.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Just a clever
fuck
name.
Fuck Bob Minch. Yeah. Top five songs in the U.S. on that day. Where is it? Number five, Bruno Mars, The Lazy Song. I feel like I know that song, but I don't remember. At number four, Black Eyed Peas, Just Can't Get Enough. At number three, Britney Spears, Till the World Ends. At number two, We Could Have Had It All. Rolling in the Deep. Yeah, Adele, Rolling in the Deep. And number one, Katy Perry, E.T. So, our final segment, that's that segment, we'll put it to bed. Our final segment is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on each episode based on the episode titles. But first, we have to look at how we did on last week's guesses.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to me. Oh, hey, we both got it.
Okay.
Well, okay, you tell me if I got this. Okay. I said Chandler enlists the help of Phoebes and Rach to go ring shopping.
You're halfway there. Yeah, I say yes.
Okay. You said Marshall tries to get the Arcadian landmarked. So we both get a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I got that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. I'm going to look up the next week's episode titles, but I'm going to need you to vamp.
Oh. Double cream Gouda. Double cream brie. Black garlic cream cheese. Buffalo chicken poppers. Chicken shawarma bowl. Chocolate cheesecake bites.
Okay, season 6, episode 24 of Friends is called The One with the Proposal, Part 1. Well, I'm going to say... Should I... Because obviously this is going to be a part two. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to predict that Chandler doesn't propose in part one.
Okay.
Yeah. Chandler does not propose to Monica before the credits roll on part one.
Okay,
this is fun. What's the name of this segment that we're on?
Challenge Accepted.
Season 6, episode 24 of How I Met Your Mother is called Challenge Accepted.
Okay. So, now that Ted is single, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He and Barney are going back to their old ways.
Okay.
And there's going to be a fun getting some giant challenge.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
The challenge will be to get some giant.
Ted and Barney are back on the prowl.
Yep.
Making wagers on giant getting.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the whole show.
That's it.
Yeah, we talked about everything.
We did
it. So, yeah. Thank you for listening. You can find the podcast wherever you found it. You've already proven you can do that. But you can also find a post for every episode at BattleshipPretension.com. That's the home of my other podcast, Battleship Pretension, which is about movies. Check that out while you're there if you want. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. That's what Andrew did. You can also find me on Twitter or Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. So now that's where people can find me, where can people find you?
You can't, as you know. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers. Give us 5 stars, unless you think we don't deserve 5 stars, in which case you should let us know.
Sure.
And be like Andrew and write us an email.
With funny stories.
With funny stories. Yeah. Let us know underage drinking. Or like Andrew, if your taste evolved over time.
Sure, yeah.
In different beverages. Hopefully it did.
Let us know what the producer's cuts of this episode.
Exactly.
Friends.
And then, yeah, until next time, we'll be in the little jail between the doors.